In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. It's great to be with all of you at the start of this new day, top of the morning. Many blessings on this Sunday. So, my friends, we'd like to start off, as always, by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church, and Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Also, when we pray that beautiful prayer at the end of the rosary, we also invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invite Mary to be with us, to walk with us, to talk with us, to encourage us, to help us to love God more and more each day. As we pray the prayer that Mary loves most, and that prayer is the Hail Mary, also known as the Angelic Salutation. Together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friends, we'd like to invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many wonderful, wonderful titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. He's also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is also known as our sanctifier. In our pursuit of holiness, the Holy Spirit is key for us to strive to become the saint that God calls us to be. Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. Saint Paul says in his letter to the Romans that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to come to be with us. And the gospel today to set our hearts on fire with the love of God. As we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Well, Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It's great to be with all of you on this Sunday. Sunday, the day in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has truly risen from the dead. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. And as always, after praying with you, we'd like to place on the altar many intentions. First of all, we'll pray for Annie's health, for Carmen, her return to health, and for all of us that we would try to be open to the Holy Spirit today. Perhaps this can be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention will be to pray for our family and family members. Beatrice, her daughter's financial problems, but especially for the conversion, sanctification, and salvation of our family members. Remember what the Lord says, he says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And then finally, my friends, I'd like to pray in a special way for all of those who will be dying sometime today. That's right. All those will be dying sometime today, that they would be saved. That they would open themselves up to God's mercy. As well as for ourselves, because we don't know the specific day, hour, moment that God will call us from this life to the next. As St. Alphonsus says, let's pray for the grace of all graces. And the grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. Let's beg for that. Yes, my friends, so This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. In the early 90s, Pope St. John Paul II, he wrote and published a document. And the name of the document was Dia Domino. In English, that would be the Day of the Lord, in which the Holy Father explains the third commandment, to keep holy the Sabbath. In this, he spoke about the danger of the weekend mentality, that Sunday is nothing more than kind of an extension of Saturday, with the exclusion of attending the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The assistance of the holy sacrifice of the Mass for Catholics on Sunday is at a very low point. Actually, the biggest religious group in the country are non-practicing Catholics. So John Paul II, this would be a good 30 years ago, reminded the world that the very heart and center of Sunday is to honor God by going to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, by participating fully, actively, and consciously in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer, the prayer par excellence. The prayer par excellence is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And then after participating in the Mass, the Holy Father, John Paul II, says that Sunday should be the Lord's Day, but also it should be Family Day. After placing the Lord in the center, then we want to try to strengthen our family bonds, husbands with wives, parents with children, siblings among themselves, to fortify and to strengthen these family bonds that can be loosened because of the busy schedule that we all have. So that's the essence of the document of John Paul II. Dia Domina, the Day of the Lord. Sunday, we go to Mass. We participate fully, actively, and consciously in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Then this flows over in our relationship with our family members, which we want to try to bond with our family members on Sunday. So, my friends, when we pray the Our Father, give us this day our daily bread, we're begging the Lord to give us sufficient health so that we can work and sustain ourselves. But also by give us this day our daily bread, where we want to nourish ourselves on the bread of the Word of God. Jesus said to Satan, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Another interpretation of this daily bread is John chapter 6, which is the bread of life discourse that Jesus gave in the synagogue of Capernaum, in which he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Your forefathers had the manna, but they died. Do not seek the perishable bread, but seek the bread that brings eternal life. So those would be the three interpretations of the Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. We pray for health, for Carmen, who's with us now, for Annie, for Steve O'Connor. We have many intentions. We pray for your health. And we pray that we'd nourish our minds on the Word of God. And then that we would nourish our souls on the bread of life. That's the interpretation of the Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. So, let's delve into the Word of God. Sunday, we have the great blessing of having three readings. And today we have from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of the four major prophets. Maybe you know the four major prophets. They would be Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. So today we have from Jeremiah chapter 38. Then the responsorial psalm is taken from Psalm 40. And the antiphon is, Lord, come to my aid. Then we have a relatively short reading from the letter to the Hebrews chapter 12, 1 to 4, which we're called to persevere in running the race that lies before us, the gift of perseverance. And then we have the Gospel of St. Luke, where in year C, year A is Matthew, year B is Mark, year C is the Gospel of St. Luke, which is a very challenging gospel, where Jesus speaks about the fact that he's come to bring fire on the earth. And he has to undergo a baptism. Then Jesus says something that all of us experience if we're really trying to live out the gospel. It's painful. But all of us have gone through tension. And division. And because of the Lord. So Jesus says, I've not come to bring peace, but rather division. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. I've not come to bring peace, but rather division. Jesus is very, very honest with us. He's very honest with us. So, these are the readings we have for today. So I'd like to go through the readings, and I'd like to focus on the gospel. So we start with Jeremiah. He was one of the major prophets that was preaching to the Israelites, and they did not like his preaching. He seemed to be Mr. Doomsday. He basically told the Israelites to surrender to their enemies and to go into exile. They did not like this at all. They were not happy campers at the preaching of Jeremiah, not at all. So as a consequence, they get angry at Jeremiah. They apprehended him, and they threw Jeremiah into a cistern, which would be a well, in which there is basically no water. And Jeremiah, he was sinking in the mud. All this because he preached to the Israelites, the chosen people of God, a message that they didn't want to hear. And often that's the cause of division among us, is that we sometimes tell people and some family members certain things that they don't want to hear. Face it. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to hear it. But at times it has to be said. And as Edmund Burke says, so that evil progress is sufficient that good men do nothing. Right? So that evil progress is sufficient that good men do nothing. For that reason, when we celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we start off with what is called the penitential rite, in which we pray the Confiteor. We can sin in thought, word, deed, and through omission. Omission, what does that mean? Omission means not doing what we should be doing. Being negligent. Being derelict in our duty. Being remiss. It's very easy for us to be negligent in our obligations. Sometimes we don't want to correct because we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to end up with conflict, but sometimes we have to conflict. And there's a saying, those who don't stand for anything will, those who do not stand for anything will fall for everything. Do you like that? It's a good one, isn't it? Those who do not stand for anything will fall for everything. So we can't be milk toasts or cotton candy. Just be blown by the wind. We have to maintain our principles, as did Jeremiah. Okay, Angelica says that Jeremiah was singing in the mud. I don't think he was singing, Angelica. He was sinking. So maybe he was singing in the mud, but I doubt it. I think he was probably sinking, because if you're in mud, you do sink. That's called the law of gravity. So there we have the prophet Jeremiah, who was not afraid to speak the truth. The responsorial psalm is taken from Psalm 40. And Psalm 40, the antiphon is, Lord, come to my aid. That's a good prayer. Lord, come to my aid. It's a good prayer. When we're going through tough times, we can say, help! Help! It's a good prayer. The Beatles used to sing that song, Help. Maybe remember that, no? We want to turn to God and cry out, help! That you help us to get through our many struggles through life. Help. Lord, come to my aid. So let's pray that, like Jeremiah, that we would have courage to know the truth, to live the truth, to preach the truth, and even to be willing to suffer for the truth, because we're suffering for God. And I heard a homily that said, we shouldn't be worried about conflict, but we should be worried that we're on the right side. I kind of like that, don't you? You shouldn't worry about conflict, because we're going to have conflict, but we want to make sure that we're on the right side, and that right side is the side of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Great. So, Lord, come to my aid. Lord, come to my aid. The second reading is taken from the letter to the Hebrews. This is one of my favorite letters. It's a very priestly letter with a lot of good advice and a lot of challenges. Even though today is just four verses, it's very substantial. And what the author says, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Not Jehovah Witnesses, okay? Not Jehovah Witnesses. I hope not. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And if you go to the Greek, witness is actually, a martyr is actually witness by giving witness to our faith, by our willingness to die for the sake of the truth. Yes, we should be willing to die for the sake of the truth. Jesus says, the truth will set you free. The cloud of witnesses, my friends, by the saints. Remember the song, when the saints come marching in. When the saints come marching in. So my friends, let's get in the habit. Let's get in the habit, my friends, of getting to know and to love the saints. Let's get into the habit of knowing and loving the saints. So, this is an invitation, my friends. It's an invitation. Excuse me. To draw closer, my friends, to the saints. That's right. We're really never alone. We have a wonderful Perseverance family among all of you. And you'd invite even more of your friends, no? Invite even more of your friends. But don't forget that The church is divided into three different levels. This is a classical division of the church. Bridget says she learned about St. Coleman in her trip to Ireland. Yeah, there's so many wonderful saints. So many wonderful saints. But we have the classical division of the church that I was brought up and raised in. I'm older than most of you. Is you have the church suffering, the church militant, and the church triumphant. Maybe some of you have heard of that before. The tripart, the three dimensions of the church suffering, the church militant, and the church triumphant. The church suffering would be the souls in purgatory. That we want to do all we can to help to bring the souls from purgatory to heaven. The Marians of the Immaculate Conception about 4 or 5 years ago made a really good film on purgatory that was actually shown publicly. Great movie on purgatory. The church militant, my friends, that's you and me. The church militant, where we have the word military, means that we are soldiers for Christ. I remember vaguely many years ago when I was confirmed that the nun said that the bishop was going to smack you. And it wasn't really smack. It was a little touch on the cheek. The bishop no longer does it, but I think it's very important. Means that you should be willing to suffer for Christ. And if he wills, even to suffer martyrdom for the sake of Christ. That's right. Suffering for the sake of Christ, even martyrdom for the sake of Christ. That's right. To suffer martyrdom for the sake of Christ. Then there's what is called the church triumphant. Triumph means that they're winners. When the saints come marching in, we're all church militant, marching hopefully on the right path. That's right. So we want to renew our belief, Bridget and friends, in what is called the church triumphant. I have a picture in my confessional of the Mass being celebrated, and you can see those three different dimensions. You can see the priest is offering Mass, and the souls in purgatory that are detained there are being alleviated because of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Then you can see the people that are participating in Mass. And then above you can see God, and you can see the angels and the saints with Mary in heaven. A beautiful depiction of the church suffering, the church militant, and the church triumphant. Yes. So the cloud of witnesses. Let's try to get to know the lives of the saints better and better. Last week we had St. Maximian Kolbe, St. Stephen of Hungary. This week we're going to have St. Bernard, the mellifluous doctor. Then we'll have St. Pope Pius X. And this week, my friends, last week we celebrated the Assumption of Mary into Heaven. Mary is the queen of angels and saints. And this coming Friday, we'll be celebrating the crowning of Mary. So we celebrate the two last glorious mysteries. Last week, the Assumption, and this week, we celebrate the crowning of Mary, queen of angels and saints, queen of our hearts. Queen of angels and saints, queen of all hearts. So the letter of Hebrews speaks about the cloud of witnesses. Then speaks about, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us. It's a good examination of conscience. It's a good examination of conscience. We might even stop and ask ourselves, what is the major obstacle that is preventing us from giving ourselves totally, fully, unreservedly? To the service of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You might even go through the capital sins, which is, you don't have to post this, but bring this to your confessor. Which of the capital sins seems to be the one that's, when you're having an arm wrestle, you seem to lose most? Is it gluttony or lust? Or avarice, or sloth, or anger, or envy, or pride. Once he gave a treat and a young woman said, Father, I've got all of those. Father, I've got all of those. Well, welcome to the club. As a result of original sin, we all have what is called concupiscence, fomi peccati, where we have a certain tendency, a pull toward these sins. I like to call it a tug of war. You got the tug of war. We're being pulled away from God. Then the Holy Spirit is pushing us toward God. We want to be on the right side, don't we? That's right. We want to be on the right side. Well, we probably all have all of them, but there's going to be one that's predominant. And with the help of God's grace, we want to practice the opposite virtue. Gluttony, we want to practice temperance. Lust, we want to practice chastity. Avarice, we want to practice generosity. Sloth, we want to practice diligence. Envy, we want to practice admiration. Anger, we want to practice meekness. Pride, we want to practice humility. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto yours. So, as the psalm points out, we want to be praying, Lord, come to my aid. Help me to overcome what is the major encumbrance which is preventing me from giving myself fully and totally to God. And then the author speaks about perseverance and running the race. Myself, having been in cross country when I was younger, I remember I once ran the Invitational, where you had hundreds of runners from all the different schools in the county. And I remember it was 2.5 to 3 miles. And some of the runners took off sprinting. And after about a third of a mile, they had already conked out. They're huffing and puffing. Because, you know, you don't sprint when you're running close to 3 miles. You have to pace yourself. So we want to pace ourselves, but have our eyes fixed on Christ. And not become lazy. We want to run at a good pace. That we want to have our eyes fixed on Christ, as the author says. He says, in running the race that lies before us while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. That's right. We want to focus our eyes on Christ. Remember, there was two pastors that were talking about the Christian faith. One was an African, and the other was an American. And the African pastor had come to visit the United States. And the American pastor asked the African pastor what he thought was perhaps the biggest obstacle of growing in faith in the United States. And the African pastor said, he said, there are too many distractions. This was a conversation that probably took place 40 years ago. But now, even more so, there are many distractions. It's easy for us to be distracted, to be pulled off the course. For that reason, we want to focus, my friends, we want to focus our attention on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have our eyes fixed on Him. People will sometimes say to me, Father, when I pray, I have a lot of distractions. I have a lot of distractions. Even when I'm in Mass, I have a lot of distractions. And over the years, one of the suggestions I make to those who say, I've got a lot of distractions, would be to pray more to your guardian angel. One of the purposes of our guardian angel is to help us to focus more on God, to pay more attention to our prayer life. And most of you remember, I mentioned this many times, is that wonderful movie. In Spanish it's called El Gran Milagro. El Gran Milagro, the great miracle. A gran milagro, the great miracle, in which you have three guardian angels that are taking three separate individuals into the church. And the purpose of bringing them into the church will be so that they can participate fully, actively, and consciously in the greatest of all prayers. And that greatest of all prayers, you know that, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So you see these angels there. You see these angels. Maria Carrillo says, excellent movie, El Gran Milagro. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You see the angels sitting next to those three individuals. One whose name was Doña Cata. the elderly woman, Doña Monica, the young widow, who had the San Diego, and Don Chano, who was the bus driver. The bus driver. And you see these angels that are sitting next to these three individuals, explaining the Mass. In my classes of formation, I'm planning to put together, with the help of Elvira, a PowerPoint on the Mass, and to just go through the Mass step by step. It might take a few months, but one of the reasons why people do not attend Mass, because they do not understand the importance of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is the prayer par excellence. The greatest miracle. That's right. I love that. I show that to our confirmation and first communion parents and children almost every year. Because if you go through that movie with the help of your guardian angel, with the help of the angels of God, then we enter more fully into the greatest of all prayers, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the prayer par excellence. So we've done full circle at the very beginning of our talk, my friends. I was giving you a summary of one of the writings of Pope St. John Paul II. The name of the document is Dia Domini, the Day of the Lord, which John Paul II strongly encourages us to live out the Sunday by going to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, by participating in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, by loving the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And my friends, the greatest gesture we can do in this life, the greatest gesture we can do in this life is what? Is to receive Holy Communion. There's no greater gesture in the whole world, my friends, than receiving Holy Communion. So, my friends, let the Hebrews invites us to enter into the cloud of witnesses, these saints, to become more and more friends with these saints. Let us try to detach ourselves from any person, place, thing, object, idea that's preventing us from focusing upon Christ. Let's ask our guardian angel to help us. To help us to focus on God. And let's pray for the gift of final perseverance. The grace of all graces. The grace of all grace, my friends, is to die in the state of grace. So, my friends, we've had a very, very good conversation. I'd like to invite all of you to share this conversation with many of your friends. That's a good way to evangelize. Share this with many of your friends. And I, for my part, will place all of you on the altar in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And right now I'd like to give all of you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. Through the intercession of Mary, the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, and our Mother, may God bless all of you on this Sunday, the day of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many blessings upon all of you.